We all need support and community. And as a listener of the Natural Healing Podcast, we want to extend a special invitation for you to join ours. Visit acenterfornaturalhealing.com/welcome to be a part of our global online community. You'll get a free 5-step guide to fatigue relief, along with exclusive weekly insights and health tips that we only share via email. Join now at acenterfornaturalhealing.com/welcome. We look forward to seeing you there. So we're really excited today to welcome back a very important guest on our show. The last time that Lance Shuttler was with us, we talked about brain health, which is a really vital topic. And today we're going to develop that and kind of move things in a different direction. But Lance, for those of you who have not listened to episode 60 yet, I really recommend that you go back and listen to that episode. And if you're not familiar with Lance Shuttler, here is an introduction. Lance Shuttler graduated from the University of Iowa with a bachelor's degree in health science and is the CEO and owner of Ascent Nutrition, a unique holistic nutrition company. He is also contributing health and wellness writer at the Epoch Times. His work also includes the topics of regenerative agriculture, resource-based economies, and quantum technologies. He's a facilitator and collaborator of big ideas, visions, and projects that spark creative and healing solutions in our world. Well, that's right up our alley, Lance. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Sitara. Thank you, Salvador. It's awesome being here.
Yeah, Lance, we're really excited to chat with you again. We really enjoyed our first meeting.
Welcome to the Natural Healing Podcast, the show designed to guide, inspire, and empower you to elevate your health so you can achieve your goals and dreams. We are your hosts, Dr. Sitara Mowafi
and Salvador Cefalu,
a husband and wife team of acupuncturists and owners of A Center for Natural Healing, an integrative wellness clinic based in the heart of Silicon Valley.
We're here to make the ancient wisdom of healing practical and accessible for your modern lifestyle. And you have an interesting story of how you got interested in the neurosciences and neuroregeneration. You want to touch on that before we get into the types of supplements that you sell with your online distribution company?
Yes, definitely. Thanks, Salvador. So you're going back 15 years now. I had a family member who, long story short, ended up taking his life out of depression. And at the time, he had never really been on any pharmaceuticals and really was not about that. But during that winter, he was really going through some difficult times. And so he went to his medical doctor to try to get some help and was put on an antidepressant and then ended up switching a few different times at the discretion of his doctor. And, you know, like a lot of patients who go on and off antidepressants, he went up and then down and up and down. And it actually wasn't very long at all. It was only just a handful of months. And then one day out of nowhere, he decided to take his life. And so from that moment forward, it's been part of my mission and purpose that I have been, you know, awoken to because of that, to help people to not suffer. That's really the basis of it, but really helping people to discover the power of their mind, discover the power of nature and natural substances that can help the physical brain, that can help us spiritually, emotionally, and all the different ways that really impact us in health ways. So it's been, you know, a journey in that regard, but it really helped open me up to start asking deeper, very important questions, you know, that we've all gotten to at some point on this path of health and wellness, which is, you know, is the mainstream Western medicine model, is it here to actually help? Is there things that can be improved? what is brain health about? What's happiness about? What is the purpose of life even about? You know, all these deeper questions started to come up, and it made me really soul search and dig and start to try to find meaning for my life and meaning of how to vindicate and, you know, help others so that we aren't having to go through this or others aren't having to go through this as well. So that's really the short story of it, but it really led to this process for me to just start digging deep and looking after the truth and asking the difficult questions that I didn't even want to ask, but it started coming up and I couldn't lie to myself anymore. You know, I needed to keep going and look at things and understand things for what they were and not just the surface level talk of what we're told by doctors or told by commercials that are selling pharmaceuticals and things like that. So it began the process and, you know, it's really led to a lot of beautiful information that I've learned and it's helped me. And I know that it's helped many others that I've been able to pass this information along to. And that's really the whole point, is just helping people to not have to suffer and not have to go through that pain of even thinking about that choice of taking one's own life.
And an important point to make, which I'm sure that you also agree with, Lance, is that in having a discussion like this, we're obviously not, you know, putting down pharmaceutical drugs, and they do have their place. I mean, if you're on a medication right now, there's nothing to be ashamed of, or we're not trying to create like some story against that choice. It's really about helping you find alternative ways to enhance your well-being and your lifestyle so that you're less reliant on these pharmaceutical drugs, so that eventually maybe you could live a life free of them. And if not, you can at least live a healthy life while on them and not suffer so much from the side effects.
Yes. Thank you, Zatara. That's a great addition. And yes, I fully believe that too. And, you know, am on the same page with that. I've even told people in certain situations, you know, on that note, yes, you should speak with your doctor about this. Yes. I mean, maybe you should consider staying on that for, you know, okay, a time as, you know, proposed by your doctor. Definitely. Like the Western medicine model, as we know, it's very useful in many, many different ways. And there's been so many advances. And, you know, that's the whole point of, let's use the best of it and let's use the best of natural medicine and combine them and really be able to help people in holistic ways that can utilize the best of both worlds.
The pharmaceutical model really seems suited for the acute care when somebody really just can't even cope with their current situation. But when that goes into decades of use, where a person's just numbed out and they really can't even feel what they used to be like emotionally and psychologically, their brain is dulled and lack of focus, all these things start to play in, then you really have to consider an alternative way, because those pharmaceutical drugs, they're having, you know, a counter benefit at that point, you know, a counter effect. It's not a way to sustain a person's well-being, essentially.
Well, and the other important thing to remember is that you take, when you learn these tools, like what Lance is going to talk about today and what we've shared on the podcast over time, you start to have this power to feel empowered to advocate for yourself and your healthcare. Because it's very easy kind of to tell your doctor or your healthcare practitioner, here, you fix it. But it really never gets fixed. You never really have healing until you step up for yourself and you start making the changes in your life, in your lifestyle, in what you're eating and what you're taking in and what you're doing. Once you feel like empowered to do that, then you're not so reliant and you don't feel so defeated by life. You know, you want to live life. That gives you that sense of joy, that sense of happiness, that motivation to keep going. The motivation behind us even starting the Natural Healing Podcast was like to gift people tools and resources. Like, yes, you can do this. You don't need somebody to tell you what to do. You don't need somebody to give you, you know, certain medications or supplements or whatever so that you can make your life better. You can make choices within your life and then have the supplements and medications, have those on the side. That shouldn't be the root of your health care and your well-being. And that's why I think, you know, the motivation that you come in with, Lance, is so beautiful, like from having that story of like turning tragedy into something that you're really helping people with and really making a difference in the world. And the integrity behind your company, Ascent Nutrition, and the integrity behind the work you're doing as an individual, what drives you to continue to do that even now?
That's a really great question, truly, because, you know, at different times, as we all know, life gets hard and it's hard to keep pushing through with work or a business or a project or, you know, anything endeavoring to accomplish and set forth on. There's always comes times where it's difficult to push through. But what keeps me going is just the what I went through, and not as, you know, I don't hold on to that anymore like I used to. But I have a good remembrance of it. And I know, you know, what I went through, and I saw how my family dealt with it, and, you know, how my dad actually processed that, and what his experience was with that. And so I saw firsthand what can happen when someone's mind is essentially overtaken slash, you know, overconsumed with negative self-deprecating thoughts. And so what drives me is, again, just to end the suffering and just keep pushing through. Like, I know that we've helped people, but there's so many more people to help. And yes, I and my company, we're not going to help every single person on this planet, but we're going to help as many people as we can. And we're not going to stop. The people in the company, there's a lot of stories, you know, relating to the people that I work with and that's on the team, overcoming their own challenges and dealing with these things in different ways. And so we're all very motivated to help people and animals. You know, some of these products apply to animals, but people specifically, to have a happier, healthier life and enjoy it. Because at the end of the day, like, what is any of this or all of this about? I mean, there's a lot of answers. Everyone has their own answer. But I think in general, it's about life and love and happiness and enjoying our time here on this planet in these bodies and what we're here to do. And, you know, someone having to even think about taking their own life due to whatever stressors they're undergoing, I think should not even be a reality. And we should do everything that we can as humans to give our fellow humans the tools to overcome that sadness and break through into happier, healthier states of mind.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
It's interesting you bring up the animals. We have a little dog. She's part Italian Greyhound. And if anybody knows about Italian Greyhounds, they're like the most nervous dogs on the planet. So she has a real anxiety problem. And then anxiety, you know, creates a lot of fear. And a while back, she was getting aggressive because of that. She's getting a little bitey, going after people that would walk in our home. And so Setara put her on some Chinese herbs. And in Chinese medicine, when a person's a little bit too aggressive like that, you want to relax their liver and cool the liver down. And that also helps cool the heart, helps with the anxiousness. And of course, you know, for a small dog that's like 12 pounds, you use a very small dose. And it was remarkable, within days, that dog completely shifted. So it's really fun when you can see, you know, a natural way around these things rather than trying to just sedate them with medication. It applies to them as well.
Fatigue, bloating, gas, acid reflux, poor or excessive appetite, diarrhea, or constipation. These are all symptoms related to poor gut health, which provides the foundation for your entire well-being. And while making the dietary and nutritional changes necessary to improve your gut health might seem overwhelming, there is an easy way to begin your transformation. Visit sataramoafi.com/gut health to download my free audio guide on how to improve your gut health in just 1 week. You'll learn three incredibly simple yet powerful strategies to improve the health of your gut, to boost your immune system, improve your mood, deepen your sleep, and even strengthen your mental clarity and ability to manage stress. Go to sataramoafi.com/gut health to start feeling better in just 1 week. That's sataramoafi.com/gut health. oftentimes you hear people like, I don't believe that that can help. Or I don't believe, you know, where's the science behind it? And one of the easiest applications for a lot of supplements, herbs, energy healing, whatever you want to do, acupuncture, is to bring a very young child or an animal in and work on them and just have people witness that. Because the shift that happens is so fast. And I think part of that is because, you know, as adults with, you know, our mental capacity, we create a lot of mental blocks in terms of like our healing abilities. You know, we have all these ideas about what's possible and what's not possible. Well, young children, very young children especially, and animals don't have that. They don't have those mental barriers that prevent them from the world of endless possibilities. So when you give them a little treatment or an herb or whatever, you see the shift immediately because they're able to just be open to that without being so jaded like we often become.
They also have a lot of yang qi, so things move fast. Mm-hmm. Another way to put that, they don't have a lot of resistance to change. Mm-hmm. As we get older, we have a lot of layers we have to work through, you know, mm-hmm. layers, emotional layers. We might have a layer that says, this disease or these symptoms serve me somehow. So they may say they want to change, but they really don't want to like let go of those symptoms because it's their crutch in life, you know? So definitely dealing with adults is a much more complicated mm-hmm. bag. So with that being said, why don't we jump into some of the products that you saw? Cause you got something really unique on the market that you don't see very, very commonly. And that's the saffron.
Yes, yes.
And I know Setar got really excited when she saw that on your list because, you know, from her Persian culture, saffron is like a staple. You know, that's the yellow spice you see when they put on the rice. And I'll tell you, her mother came back from Iran some years back with a bunch of saffron, and she says it was like the price of gold.
That's more expensive, I think.
Yeah, to get that.
But before you get into it, Lance, because I know you're going to go into the science and the mechanism, and we're going to get into some of the other supplements. And by the way, we're introducing you to these supplements as a way of helping you understand their mechanism and what we're trying to help with. So, you know, we've been talking about brain health and happiness, and these are just good examples that the products that you have, Lance, of what's possible and what kind of support we can gain. So the saffron extract that you have, like Salvador mentioned, really triggered my interest because growing up, we were always told like, don't give the kids too much saffron at night because it'll keep them awake or it makes them really hyperactive. You can actually see when you eat saffron, especially if you have saffron ice cream, because obviously that's another, you know, compounded with the sugar and all that it literally gives you like a spark for life. It gives you joy. It gives you excitement. So that's why like we use it so much in cooking. And I often see this when we study herbal medicine, there's a lot of herbs and spices that I grew up with and that I start to understand, oh, no wonder I was given this to eat when I had this issue or that issue. Or no wonder they say, take turmeric if you have pain or whatever. Can you explain saffron and how did this even become a part of your lineup at Ascent Nutrition?
Yeah, definitely. So I'll answer the second question first and then it'll tie in. So again, kind of along the same lines, really, my big passion has been the brain and what we might call it biohacking or neurohacking of the brain, optimizing the brain and brain function around productivity and focus and happiness, of course, but also, you know, really dialing in to be able to be productive and focused like so many, you know, people want to do. But with that, we really wanted to bring in nutrients that were going to help people on a whole body, but also specifically on the brain. And so we've got several that are focused on the brain and kind of tying into something that we had previously touched on. And then I'll go into the saffron with this. And this is not a marketing or a pitch statement at all. This is just tying in with what you had said about natural compounds and there being science on them. And, you know, what do people say about that? You know, there's definitely a lot of science. People can find that on PubMed. We all know that there's thousands and thousands of published studies on many of these different compounds. But specifically what we're doing is, I mean, there's one instance, you guys, where there's several reviews on our site, but one instance where this lady had written in and she was on five different medications, and it was relating to the brain. I'm not going to go into the specifics, but five medications, and she started taking some of our products to help her, and she was able to wean off and get all the way down to one pharmaceutical, and now I believe that she's off of that last one as well, and now just using natural compounds. So that's just, you know, that's part of proof, we could say. You know, that's one example of someone having living proof of natural compounds being effective, not just about my company and our products. This is about the whole industry as a whole. We know these things help people immensely. So why saffron? Because of what it does. You know, there's a lot of different names for it. The sunshine spice, the happiness spice. I'm sure there's other names out there too. But there's a couple main compounds in there. Saffronol, crocetin, and crocin, I believe, is the third one. And these compounds do different things in the brain. They modulate neurotransmitter production. So there's oftentimes more dopamine, the happiness hormone, produced. So that can lead to that effect of that. Serotonin is modulated. And then it also stimulates this process called neurogenesis by upregulating a couple different proteins that help repair neurons and actually create new neurons itself. So all of those in combination, the different nutrients in there and how they're modulating the neurotransmitters and what they're doing to the actual structure of the neurons in repairing them and creating new ones, it is not a surprise that saffron does what it does. It makes you, you know, in general, happier and have a much more positive outlook on life, and you feel more motivated, less anxiety. So many people report, I mean, there's new studies coming out on kids with, you know, what we'd call ADD or ADHD, and saffron being able to help them focus immensely. So I think it's beautiful and amazing that this exotic, incredible, magical spice can literally spice up one's life and spice up the mind in a person.
Yeah. And, you know, it's another example of the doctrine of signatures, because, you know, the spice is yellow, the stamen is red, and those are the colors of the heart. Well, we say yellow is earth, but you could say, you know, you put yellow and red together, you got orange. Orange is definitely the color of the heart. Anyway, this is an herb that you could see is in heart, the emotion of the heart is joy. Now, joy, you know, in balance is a good thing. But when the heart is out of balance, when there's too much fire, you know, then you're going to go into the spectrum of anxiety and nervousness. So it's really interesting. You can see how this herb kind of modulates that. It has like this biphasic action where it's going to help with depression. It's going to bring a little joy to the heart. When there's sadness, it's going to perk a person up. And then it's also going to help when a person's too nervous and anxious. So these are, you often see those, that biphasic action in a lot of herbs in Chinese medicine as well.
And also saffron, if you think about, you know, what would it take for the sun to penetrate that part of the flower, that very center point of the flower? That's why I think I look at it, like you said, law of signature. In Chinese medicine, we say like treats like, but it's about, you know, going to the core of feeling that joy within yourself to bring that sunshine back in. It's such a beautiful representation of what that flower does. And by the way, if you're not familiar with how spices can spice up your life, like Lance mentioned, we started actually talking about this way back in episode 4. So if you want to understand different spices and different ways that spices affect your mood, just to get a foundational understanding of what we're talking about, I would revisit that episode. That's episode 4.
Yeah. And as she was just touching on, we say flowers help modulate a person's mood. Mm-hmm. And the way a mood is described by our teacher is that you feel something, but you're not sure why. I'm just down today. I don't know. I can't really give you a target why I'm feeling down, but I am down. So those, that's a mood disorder.
Yeah. Whereas an emotion is something that you can be like, okay, I got fired and I'm upset today. You know, like there's actually a reason why you're feeling it.
Yeah.
But anyway, that was kind of a little bit of a tangent.
No, so flowers are great in terms affecting a person's mood. And then you were talking about at some point in our conversation regarding saffron, how you said it also helps people with libido. So there's like this, obviously helps with circulation. You know, I found
yes,
that really
yes.
interesting as well.
Yeah, exactly, Salvador. It helps with circulation. And there's a lot of good science out there published on humans with the libido effect and actually having, you know, a substantial effect with that. So I know a lot of people have used that for that and do use that in that regard. And again, I think it's really just kind of like what we said, it is spicing up your life. I mean, it's metaphorical, but also literal. And, you know, kind of on the note with the flowers, another thing that I've often suggested to people and I use myself basically every day is sniffing essential oils, aromatherapy, and also flower essence therapy. Though the combination of the two, but either one of them, but especially the combination of the two, I've found can be very powerful and effective. And really, it's just like what we've talked about, it's the vibration of those flowers. If you think about a plant in general, not every plant, but in general, what's the most beautiful, highest vibrational expression of that plant? Typically, it's the flowers. And yeah. So you would think then, naturally, that has the highest frequency because it's captured the sunlight and then it's expressing and reflecting off a different color. And these flowers are just, it's like the end point, the culmination of that plant, of its expression. And so when we can use the medicine from those flowers, we ourselves can benefit immensely, especially yeah. emotionally.
And a common essential oil is rose, and rose essential oil, which is very expensive, but you don't need a lot. And that's supposed to be the highest vibrational oil. So you could use it for a broad spectrum of conditions.
I mean, when you think about using just natural compounds and natural medicine, even just buying yourself a bouquet of flowers changes your mood, doesn't it? So you can imagine that if you're taking the extract of that flower, what it would do for you internally.
I have rose hydrosol that I keep in the refrigerator, and it's a lot cheaper form, by the way, because yes. it really is very expensive as a concentrate. The I'm always spritzing myself with rose essential, I mean, with hydrosol. So that's like a water mist.
I use the hydrosols too, literally too. Yeah, so sometimes I've used like a rose geranium. I've used a rose. There's a basil that I've used, a holy basil, beautiful. Yeah. There's a vetiver one, actually. Yeah. I mean, there's so many, obviously, but I agree. Like the hydrosols, I even will spray some of that in my mouth because, again, you're obviously getting it even if it's just touching your skin, but I'll take some in internally too, just to kind of maybe help speed up any sort of process that, of course, there's chemical constituents in there, but as we know, like the hydrosols and the flower essences, it's reaching those higher vibrations where it's less about the physical and more about the energetic and the spiritual aspects of it.
Yeah, it's really nice. So Lance, we'll go from flowers and then we'll go to the deep, dark part of the forest and talk about mushrooms and our fungal friends. And I know you really enjoy talking about a couple of special ones. You want to give us some insight on that?
Yes, definitely. And typically when I talk about mushrooms, I like to lead with this fact and this piece of information because it often intrigues people and it gets people really thinking. So this is coming from an article published by the University of California at Berkeley some years ago. And it was talking about how us humans, we actually share about 50% of our DNA in common with mushrooms and only about 10% in common with plants. And so the way that they have evolved or co-evolved with us or vice versa, we can benefit from so many of the compounds that are produced by mushrooms in that they will face obstacles and they face the harsh environments and, you know, all the different things going on in nature and in the wild. They need to protect themselves, these trees or whatever the mushrooms are growing on. And so when the mushrooms then come in and start really consuming these different trees or barks, it will start creating compounds that will be used to protect itself from, you know, foreign invaders, so to speak. And so what that means is so many of these mushrooms we benefit from in many, many ways. It's not just one system of the body that is benefited. There's often multiple systems in the body that the mushrooms impact. And so one of the main ones, as it relates to sort of this neurogenesis and happiness and, you know, mood and outlook, is one that a lot of people do know about, which is called lion's mane mushroom. And I actually got into this many years ago as well. This was actually the first compound or the first nutraceutical or first natural food that I really got into in terms of like a biohacking, neurohacking, life enhancement sort of way. It was like one of the first supplements I truly ever took. And I knew I was researching this concept of neurogenesis and just mood enhancement and life enhancement. And I was learning a lot about lion's mane and the couple compounds in there that will cross the blood-brain barrier and then stimulate the production of nerve growth factor, brain-derived neurotrophic factor, and other neurogenic compounds too. The main point with that is, again, it goes back to this concept of the neurogenic theory of depression. So depression as one theory could be just in general outlined as the brain is not experiencing enough new growth or new repair of the neurons that are there. Okay. And so synapses, dendrites, axons are not connecting the way that they should. And so the communication is cut off. And we know that if cells are not communicating, then it's not doing what it's supposed to do. And us as humans, the way that we feel that in the brain, if the brain is not optimally functioning, is we might feel down or sad or depressed or low or just don't have good mental focus or energy. And so lion's mane has been shown to help people in many different ways, but specifically mood, outlook, focus, memory, recall, and of course, just with the overall process of the strengthening of the nervous system. You know, there was this phrase used that lion's mane will give a person memory of a lion and nerves of steel. And it goes back to this concept of neurogenesis. You know, these compounds are stimulating the creation of new neurons and the repairing of damaged neurons. And that's what we're really going for, to optimize the functioning and the structure of the brain and nervous system as a whole.
Wow, that's powerful.
It's fabulous. And I had never heard about the mushroom sharing. Did you say DNA with
50%.
Humans?
Yes.
And this is fascinating because in Chinese medicine, we say that these medicinal mushrooms resonate with the Jing. The Jing has to do with that aspect of our of the DNA. In the domain of the kidneys, so the kidneys is, the brain is an extension of our kidneys' Jing. The Jing is stored in the kidneys. So this is all the domain of the water element. So that's the domain of mushrooms. And the thing about lion's mane, it's a big white bearded looking mushroom. And the color white, as we're talking about the doctrine of signatures, is a reflection of the metal element and the lungs. Why don't you tell us about how lion's mane is helpful for the strengthening the respiratory system as well?
Yeah. So there's different studies out there talking about the different aspects of lion's mane. So obviously the brain and nervous system is the big one that people know it for. But just like you said, Salvador, there's studies out there showing how it will actually impact the lungs and respiratory system, the immune system as a whole, because it upregulates the production of white blood cells and other compounds that are beneficial for us. And also a little detoxification effect because it does help the liver. But on the lung side, again, when we're strengthening the nervous system, this is more of an indirect way of how it's helping the lungs, but the concept applies really to the whole body. The nervous system is part of the underlying, you know, foundation of really all tissues and where things are at and how energy moves in the body, or part of it, of course, on the physical level. And so when we can strengthen how the nervous system is functioning and it strengthens the communication between the neurons, regardless if it's in the brain, the heart, the lungs, wherever those neurons are at, it will help just the overall functioning of that system. And so on that note, it does help strengthen the lungs and strengthen how the functioning of the lungs actually occurs and what takes place throughout the day with that. But there are other compounds that will have other indirect effects, but that's really the basis of it and the primary reasoning behind how the lungs can benefit also from lion's mane.
Yeah, in Chinese medicine, we also have a similar description because we'll talk about how lion's mane and some of these other medicinal mushrooms like reishi, for example, which is another common one, which is good for asthma because both of these are good for asthma, or cordyceps. These help with the lungs communicating with the kidneys. And we say that it helps the kidneys grasp the qi of the lungs. So it's the way you're describing it from this Western neurological perspective, it really gives us a good understanding, you know, when you hear about the Chinese perspective, which is really more of a, you know, how would you put it? It's a different kind of description, you know,
it's more poetic.
It's definitely more poetic, which makes it very challenging for Western medical scientists when they're studying Chinese medicine, because they want everything to be, you know, cut and dry and very linear. Chinese medicine really isn't like that, which is another discussion. So why don't we continue on this topic? You have another very interesting mushroom that I know you wanted to discuss, the agarikon mushroom. And this is one that not a lot of people are familiar with.
There's so much information around this. I'll try to find a good place to begin with it. So the mushroom agarikon, there's a few different Latin names because it's actually changed, but Laricifomus officinalis is one of them. And that's the one that it commonly goes by today. But this mushroom, it will grow out specifically out in the Pacific Northwest in the old growth forest there. But then also, it's grown in Greece and somewhere in some places in the Mediterranean. Okay. But it's very not common in throughout the world, just in a few specific places. But the Greek physician Dioscorides, he called it Elixirium ad longum vitam, elixir of long life. Mm. And the indigenous of the Haida people in the Pacific Northwest, here in the US and in Canada, they've had a long cultural use of this in different ways. So on a physical level, they believe that it would help what they called rheumatoid arthritis, lung congestion, respiratory illnesses, neurological pain as well. And it would help in those different ways. But specifically, you know, a really powerful compound or mushroom for the lungs, immune system, and respiratory system. And so it's been used in that ways. But on a spiritual side, or more of like the mythology side, is that this mushroom, it grows 70 years, up to 70, 80 years out in the wild, and it will produce huge conchs, okay? And what would take place back, you know, many, many years ago is the shamans would carve animalistic figures or faces into these conchs, and they would place them over their graves because they believed it would help protect them in the afterlife from demons or evil spirits.
Interesting.
And even the people, they would take little pieces of the mushroom and hold them in their homes because they believed, again, it would help offer spiritual protection. Uh-huh. So kind of tying this into the physical is back shortly after 9/11, the U.S. Department of Defense, they have a program called Biodefense BioShield, or they had a program, and they were working with the NIH, NIAID, which is the Allergy and Infectious Diseases as well. And they wanted to find if there were natural compounds in the wild that could basically act as antidotes to different biological weapons. So they were studying things like MRSA, SARS, swine flu, bird flu, pox viruses, things like that. And the long story short of this is that there are many different compounds submitted to the study, some synthetic pharmaceuticals, some just regular synthetics, and some natural compounds and other natural things like mushrooms. Agarikon was literally off the charts in terms of its activity relating to viral load, bacterial load, things like that. I'm using vague language, you know, just to keep it clean. But the point is, this stuff they know and they knew was very, very powerful. And what happened was that this information was not necessarily intended to become public, but definitely there was a divine intervention of sorts where the published results were actually sent to one of the main mycologists who was not supposed to get them, but he did. He ended up contacting the government and, you know, saying, hey, these are great results. What's going on? They came back and were like, hey, you were not supposed to get that.
Wow.
Long story short, you know, everything was fine. But now, thankfully, we know the compounds that are in there and what they can do and how strong they are. And so what we've done is we've wanted to bring this out to the world, not just for the physical benefits, but the possible spiritual benefits. You know, if you look at things from some perspectives, we'll look at like negative entities or demons as like these etheric parasites or these etheric viruses, okay? So the way I kind of give this analogy is that agarikon is helping us both on the physical and the etheric or the non-physical. So it's antiviral on the etheric realm against, you know, negative entities or demons or whatever, you know, that a person chooses to see that as. And then also on the physical, we know it's antiviral, antibacterial, antifungal, and very, very strong against, you know, some serious things. So that's part of why we wanted to bring that out. Obviously, we're not saying this is treating or curing anything, but we do know that the science shows what this is and how it can be used for us humans. And of course, pets can use this too, but there's fantastic research on agarikon out there. There's so few companies that actually sell it. This was another reason why we wanted to bring it out, is to offer this unique one to the world. And the way that we're actually growing it and processing it and cultivating it, it is the most unique one out there. And it's the strongest one out there based on the way that we're growing it and what we do in our process to make sure that those compounds that they found grow to be the strongest within that product. Now, you know, we've talked about this. We're not genetically engineering these. We're not playing God with them, so to speak, at all. We're literally just taking what's naturally there with these strains and just cultivating it in a way with how we grow them and what we're doing to maximize how strong they can be and how effective they are. And so it's not anything that's not natural. It's just we're taking what's naturally there and just ensuring that we give it the best chance to reach its highest potential in terms of the percentages of the compounds that are in that mushroom.
Fabulous. And that's another white mushroom, you know, it's supporting the lung kidney communication, kidney driving the yang qi into the lungs. The lungs is like the conductor of wei qi in the body. And so you can see that's the wei qi is the body's defense mechanism. So you can see how when they use that kind of language, that it has a lot to do with immunity and stabilizing immunity. You know, that's why these things could help with rheumatoid, because that's like an overactive immune system. So again, you have a biphasic effect here. It's going to help boost your immunity. It's going to help modulate it and mellow it out when it's overactive.
If you're interested in purchasing any of the supplements or products that we mentioned throughout this episode, you can visit goascentnutrition.com and enter the discount code NH10 at checkout. That'll give you 10% off your entire order. So that's goascentnutrition.com, GOASCENT nutrition.com, and then enter that discount code NH10 at checkout. You know, our teacher, Jeffrey Yuan, talks about gu and gui. So like how would you describe it? Like the ghosts or entities that can appear in the external environment, but then they can also manifest in the internal environment. So it was interesting the way you just talked about, you know, protecting yourself from these entities, you know, in the etheric realm, but then also having that protection, having it be like antiviral, antifungal, antibacterial internally. That would resonate very much with the Taoist belief as well.
Yes. And that's a great point, Sitara. And like there's like the Gnostic view, or, you know, there's different perspectives on Gnosticism, but one perspective on Gnosticism, they call, you know, the demons or the dark figures archons. And they basically say that this is a way to neutralize the archonic energy, neutralize that chaotic, discordant, negative, bad goo, or just dark energy. And, you know, obviously we can't scientifically prove that, but we do know, just like every natural medicine and food and compound out there, typically the lore or the stories behind it, there's truth to it. And there's something going on that goes way beyond just what the physical is. And it definitely ties into, you know, the whole picture. We are physical beings, but we're also energetic beings.
Yeah. And honestly, it would be so naive for us to think that we can figure it all out anyway, because there's so much that we maybe can't physically see that's beyond the reality or what can be proven. And I think a lot of the reasons why people get so caught up in science, not to invalidate, there's a great validity, great power in science. It all benefits us all. But at the same time, we can't use that as an escape route and try to think that we can figure everything out just because science can prove it, or else it's not real. Because there are so many things that I'm sure we've all experienced, I know I have personally, that cannot be explained with anything that I could substantiate, except to say that I had this experience. And there are so many other people who are having these experiences every day. So when you're talking about natural foods and natural substances like mushrooms, it only makes sense that they would work on both the ethereal and the real realms, because they are part of nature, and nature understands that there are many different dimensions to life.
The goo that Setara was referring to, you would talk about it in a more Western term as in regards to fungus. Mm-hmm. So internal fungus. So you would think of like candida overgrowth. And people are often concerned about taking medicinal mushrooms when they have candida problems. And I tell them small amounts is fine, because these mushrooms have like a primer effect on your immunity to help you defend against it. You know, I wouldn't go about just eating a lot of raw mushrooms, but the medicinal ones they found is not contraindicated with candida.
Is it also the processing? Do you know, Lance, the way that it's processed versus eating like raw mushrooms or cooked mushrooms that would make a difference in that way?
Yeah, because it will basically convert into different compounds or bioconvert. It depends, obviously, what the mushroom is first and foremost, and then whatever it's growing on, and that will produce different compounds. But yeah, definitely that will impact it. And the way that we're doing it, because we're letting these mushrooms grow out the fullest extent, I'm not going to say exactly how long, but we're giving them longer than, you know, what the average is, so that they can develop and mature fully. When that takes place, they're fully converted. And so they've been digested. And so we don't need to break them down as we would, let's say, eating a raw mushroom. You know, there's reasons why we're told not to do that. Many reasons, but part of it is because it's just extremely difficult to actually metabolize that whole mushroom. But if we're cooking it, depending on the mushroom, or if we're converting it where we're in a growing process, then those things can be dealt with and already consumed, so to speak, to where when we as humans ingest them, we're just taking in the many good compounds that are in there, and we can utilize those without having to worry about the excess starches that we aren't going to digest.
And again, the formula that we've talked about many times on this podcast that I want to kind of bring up again, because regardless if you're unsure or have never, you know, taken these supplements or these mushrooms before, you want to start at a very, very low dose, because the formula is that nutrition equals food plus digestion. And these are a form of food. So when you're taking in supplements or foods, you first want to make sure that your digestive system is intact. And if it's not, then you obviously don't want to go at a full dose and just blow your digestive system out even more. So be really cautious with that. And of course, I feel like I have to say that we are not recommending these supplements for everybody. You always want to consult with a healthcare practitioner and be really careful. Follow your intuition more than anything, but also work with somebody who understands the basics before you introduce these kinds of things into your diet. So Lance, we love talking to you because you have so much insight and knowledge, and it's so clear that you have a lot of integrity in the work that you do and passion. I mean, you can definitely sense the passion that you have for this. Is there one last thought that you'd like to leave our listeners with before we end here?
Yeah, that there's always solutions, you know, and I'm saying this for myself too, because like, you know, I'd say pretty much every other human, we all go through ups and downs and just the challenges of everyday life. But there's always solutions and there's always an answer, I believe, to whatever challenge or question we have that is really impacting us health-wise or mental health-wise. You know, I didn't really have an idea of any of this stuff when this happened to my family member, when he chose to do that. And I didn't know what was going to happen. You know, obviously it took some time for me to get down into this rabbit hole of learning about health and wellness and mental health. But when I did, I saw very clearly there's not just one solution. There's many, 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 many solutions. And there's so much we can do to actually help ourselves, especially mental health wise and just happiness wise. You know, we all want to be happy. We all want to enjoy what we're doing and just even being here. Even if we don't enjoy what we're doing per se in a moment or for work or whatever, we want to at least be happy. And the main point is that there's natural solutions out there. There's exercises, there's free things that people can do. You know, we didn't really talk about light, but the impact of light alone has such an enormous effect on the brain and our outlook, our mood, and how we just proceed throughout the day and how we sleep too. So the overall message is truly don't give up and just keep looking for the solutions, whatever you're wanting to find. Even if it has nothing to do with health and wellness or this podcast, keep searching for what you want to find. And the solutions are out there and they will be shown. And I really believe that because everything that I've asked for in relation to this, for healing and resolve around it, has taken place. I'm sure there's more, but I've really come to a place where it's much happier and healthier than where I was dealing with this situation, you know, 15 years ago. And so the main point is don't give up and truly just keep searching for what you want. And the solutions will present themselves if you've got the deep enough interest and passion and desire to find what it is.
Right. Be your own advocate.
Yes.
But don't let your doctor or your family or friends, you know, limit you with their limited beliefs.
Yes, exactly.
You know, or understanding of what's possible. Exactly.
Yep.
Lance, thank you again. We just really adore you, honestly. You're always just such a pleasure to spend time with.
Thank you, Salvador. Thank you, Sitara.
It's our pleasure. And where can our listeners find you, Lance? And Ascent Nutrition.
Yeah. So my personal website, lanceshutler.com, you can find a lot of information there. Ascent Nutrition, we'll have the links below, but goascentnutrition.com is goascentnutrition.com. Goascentnutrition.com. And we'll also have a discount code for you all to use too, if you are interested.
Yes. So you can start with NH10 for your discount code. And like Lance mentioned, we'll have that all in the show notes, as well as when you visit acenterfornaturalhealing.com/saffron. We want to make sure that you leave your comments. Let us know what insights you gleaned from this conversation, from our time with Lance. We so appreciate you being here with us today, Lance, again. And we look forward to connecting very soon.
Thank you both so much, truly.
And I'd like to thank all our guests for listening once again to the Natural Healing Podcast.
We look forward to connecting very soon.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye, everyone.
Hey, if you haven't already done so, be sure to rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. This ensures that we can share this invaluable information with more listeners just like you.